Welcome to the Making Connections podcast with your host, Spencer Raposo. This podcast was made to interview current registered kinesiologists in Ontario and talk to them about what they do and where they see the future of the profession going. The goal of the podcast is to get a conversation going about kinesiology as a regulated health profession in Ontario. Each episode, we will bring on a new guest with loads of experience as an RKIN that will share their story and any advice for any new RKINs and kinesiology students about current opportunities in the field. In this episode, I interviewed Richard Bucciarelli, RKIN, professional fitness coach, sports scientist, coach educator, and the owner of Speed Training, a sports-specific strength and conditioning company in Toronto. Richard has worked at some of the highest levels in the sport of soccer, both in Canada and internationally, including the Canadian National Women's Team and the TFC Academy. Richard is presently completing his PhD in Human Health and Nutritional Sciences with a specialty in biomechanics of speed and acceleration training in soccer players at the University of Guelph. In this episode, we talk about the missing piece in sports science, why he still has his RKIN designation, and how the best investment you can make in your career today is education. Welcome to the Making Connections podcast, Richard. I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show and spending your time today to tell us about your story.
All right. You're welcome. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So I just want to kind of get the conversation started and let you kind of take the floor and let our listeners know how long you've been a registered kinesiologist for.
So I've been a registered kinesiologist since 2014. I graduated my undergraduate degree in kinesiology in 2005. And not long after I found out about the college and the designation, I went ahead and I got the process going. And I believe it was called, like, with those of us that had graduated, you know, before and already had our degrees, and, you know, we were grandfathered in. So as opposed to maybe some newer graduates that had to take an exam, you know, I didn't, but I did have to fill out, you know, the application and send my resume, other things like that. So yeah. That's how I did it.
Nice. Awesome. So kind of starting, I guess, back to potentially finishing school, writing your kinesiology degree. I wanted to get an idea about your background story, about how you got to where you are today. And I know at the beginning of the call, we were talking about you having the longest resume I've ever seen on LinkedIn. Yeah. So I'm sure you'll find a way that to keep it concise, but also keep it exciting. And tell us about the different careers that you had that really kind of impacted you to where you are, how you got to where you are today.
Sure. Yeah. I'll give you the Cole's Notes version. So I, maybe like a lot of other people who get into kinesiology, I decided to study it because I was an athlete and, you know, I kind of wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to go to university and kinesiology seemed like a good fit. So I studied kinesiology. I also was, you know, I was an athlete. I was a soccer player. So I played soccer. I was at York University playing soccer on the varsity team there. And I also, in addition to studying, I ended up working as a coach, as a soccer coach with a local club. And some of the parents of the kids that I was coaching, because they knew that I had this background studying sports science, and I was also, you know, personal trainer part-time, and they knew that. And they told me, well, you know, will you train my son, because he's, you know, he needs to feed, he's not really fit. And so after coaching, I would stay on the field and train some of the players that wanted to train. And from there, some of the other coaches from the club saw me doing that. And they said, well, you know, can you stick around a bit longer and train my team, because our team needs fitness. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, so in any case, this was all going on while I was still getting my undergraduate degree. And, you know, I within about a year or so, I kind of had built up a little, like, small part-time business with people just sort of paying me cash on the soccer field. And I think it's probably the case with a lot of people that study kinesiology, that you can kind of go in many different directions when you graduate. There's not a set path. So for me, because I already had this little business mm-hmm. going, part time, I figured, well, why don't I just put all my energy into fitness training for soccer players? And that's what I started to do when I graduated. Eventually, that led me down the road of starting a business called Soccer Fitness, which I still own and operate now. I did keep going with my education, and that includes a number of different certifications, as well as on the actual academic side. I finished a master's degree, and eventually I'm almost done a PhD now, so kind of on my road to getting there. And I also kept going with coach
Nice.
education. I got all the way to do my national A license in the United States, and so I kept definitely kept going in terms of my education and my professional development. And also at the same time that I was running this business, I did eventually get exposed to some really unique technology. High speed and high incline running treadmills led me to decide that I wanted to open up my own facility, which I did 10 years ago using that technology. And eventually that technology formed the basis of my master's and PhD research. So more or less comparing the effectiveness of different types of training on treadmills to other types of training on the ground. Yeah, from there, I guess, again, I'll give you the Coles Notes version, but I also kind of decided that, that I also wanted to teach. So I started lecturing in college, and eventually also at the university level, I developed some coach education courses because I really saw that there was a gap in terms of coaches' knowledge of fitness and sports science. So I've done that as well. So I've kind of, I've really started as this, soccer coach and fitness trainer, and then a fitness trainer training soccer players. And I've kind of built that into a career revolved around soccer-specific sports science and eventually sports-specific exercise science. And so that, I guess that's the really short version there. So.
Yeah, no, definitely. If any of the listeners after the show goes to his LinkedIn, I'll make sure to put it in the notes. But you can kind of see he's still, I keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and he hits so many kind of unique things that I'm even kind of curious to kind of ask about maybe later on. Me myself being a soccer player as well, kind of seeing you originally on LinkedIn posting some of these kind of soccer specific fitness things, and it was definitely things I was really interested in being a player myself. And then find out you're an Arkin too was like perfect. I need to kind of meet him. I need to interview him and kind of see all the stuff that he's been up to, because it's definitely something to think that you'll kind of stay in kind of sports related science. I find a lot of kinesiology students end up more in like clinical or more in gym and not really with sports too much. So that's awesome that you can really use kind of your passion of soccer and of kind of coaching and fitness and teaching and really kind of make a career of your own, and how you kind of put it to being a real entrepreneur about it, kind of opening your own business, really having all these, not, I wouldn't say side jobs, but always having something on the go. That will kind of help level you up, whether that's coaching, whether that's your PhD now, which that's awesome. So no, that's really that's as in depth as you'll probably really need, because we can really look at more information if we need on your LinkedIn, or if we can reach out if we have any specific questions. But no, that's awesome. So through all that, you've now, like you said, opened your own kind of facility. And then before, we are also talking about some things that you're working on now. So what I want to spend some time on is you telling us about what you do and your kind of day-to-day role now as a kinesiologist and kind of sports scientist. So what are the main things you're working on now? And then we can chat a little bit about those kind of up-and-coming projects you were kind of talking about.
Sure. So I did actually very recently move my facility into a new location during the COVID pandemic, and that opportunity came up because of the pandemic and my previous facility being forced to close. So I was able to, got into a bigger space, which also is a multi-sport facility. And one of the things that I really have tried to do in the last few years is branch away from just working with soccer, especially with this technology, the treadmills and everything that we're using. The training is just as effective for all different types of sports. So I've actually rebranded my business. It's now called Speed Training, and we've really kind of made a big push to get into working with athletes from all other sports in addition to soccer. And that's one of the advantages of this new facility that I'm in, which is a multi-sport facility. It has basketball and hockey and soccer and volleyball and other sports. So that's kind of a new thing. I am still running that business, but you know, I've got a manager and another full-time staff that help with that, which frees me up to do the other things. So I mentioned my PhD research, which I'm still working on. There are two, I guess, kind of unique projects. I know we chatted a bit before, so I'll speak about them a little bit. One is sort of stems from my I spent quite a lot of time in my career working at the higher levels in soccer. I worked with the national team, the Canadian women's national team. I worked with PFC in their academy. I worked in Uruguay in South America with a professional club, and most recently with the Ottawa Fury. And in addition to that, with many different university teams. And the interesting thing is that maybe people who don't know what it's like in those environments is a little surprising, but you don't always have. Let's say access to a lot of let's say technology. You don't have a lot of funding to get the kind of equipment or software that maybe you'd like to have. And also staffing and budgets in general in those environments are very, very low. And it surprised me when I first got into it, and I think it would surprise a lot of other people. And so one of the things that really occurred to me at all of those different levels that I worked at was that there was a missing piece in terms of sports science. Myself as a fitness coach and sports scientist, you know, we do, I think, a pretty good job of providing training to athletes, whether that's in the gym or on the field or whatever it is, training and recovery. Those things are done fairly well. What's not done well is all the other pieces around players' health, and that includes things like monitoring their nutrition and hydration, monitoring their training load. That's a big thing. I teach that in my courses. And I think it's something that, again, without the access to technology like heart rate monitors and GPS, it's really, really not done. And even some people who have the technology don't know how to use it and aren't using it properly. And then also monitoring players' overall health and recovery. So, you know, again, this is sort of a long time or a sort of a long-term objective of mine was to see how can we do a, you know, as fitness coaches and sports scientists, do a better job of giving a more holistic service to athletes, including tracking all of these things without the budget and without the technology. So I hooked up with a web developer who actually took one of my courses last year, and we've been building a, you know, a web-based application, which I'm piloting with the university, Ontario Tech University. I'm an assistant coach and fitness coach with the men's and women's soccer teams there. So we're piloting this app with those teams. And this app allows us, in a very, very simple and efficient way, to track and monitor training load without technology. We just use a survey of the player's rating of perceived exertion. And we also take the volume of the training, and there's a formula that we're able to calculate training load from, a validated and empirically sound, evidence-based formula. We also can track and monitor players' hydration based on changes in body weight. Again, simple, it only involves just a very cheap digital scale to weigh them. And we're also using different questionnaires to track and monitor players' health and recovery, things like their sleep, their diet and nutrition, different recovery activities that they're doing, perceived soreness, different questionnaires where we're able to collect data about players' health and recovery, and then again, look at that data, how it relates to their training load, how it relates to their hydration status, and so on. And then we're also looking at all that information and how it relates to their injury risk and their rate of injury and their ability to recover from injury. So again, this is sort of a like it's been a long-term goal of mine to do, and you know, I'm finally doing it now, so quite excited about that. And maybe the opportunity to take this product once it's ready, take it to market and use it to help everybody that's working with athletes outside of the top pro environments where you, you know, again, you just don't have the budget. So that's one. And then I guess I could mention.
No, that's definitely that's definitely awesome thing that you can kind of put out there that, like you said, making it a little bit more accessible because, like you said, nowadays we kind of understand the concept of training, but it's also the recovery, and that's a lot of things that gets overlooked even at the higher levels, right? And that's awesome that you're able to kind of help develop something to really track the full training load and look at that recovery and even down to the hydration is amazing. And it's, that's something that you that's what you think a sports scientist does. Like, that's awesome. Like, when I'm talking with students and they're like, yeah, like, this is a thing. Like, people actually do this for a job, and it's in Canada, in Ontario, even more specifically. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And I think it comes back to a lot of times that because I've been involved at all these different levels, like, I can kind of see where there are gaps. And you know, I've got probably a unique ability to do that just because of all the different work that I've done. And I think that's kind of a consistent gap that hopefully, you know, we'll be able to fill with what we're doing. The second thing, which I think also addresses a gap, is so I did get connected recently with a really amazing technology company based out of Waterloo called Best Athletes. And I was hired as the chief sports scientist with Best Athletes. And what they do is they provide a whole range of assessments for athletes, including physical fitness assessments. That's where I come in. They also provide psychological assessments and technical and tactical assessment. So it's kind of like a holistic four-corner model to assess players and develop athlete profiles based on the data that is collected from these assessments. And then the really cool thing is that they've got a team of data scientists. These are computer engineers and really, you know, people that work with data, you know, for their career. And these people are looking at all of the different data that's collected and analyzing it using machine learning in order to try to optimize models to develop the most valid, accurate, and reliable athlete profiles, and then to match those athletes with coaches. So this is, again, it's a little bit of a missing piece, I think, on sport science, fitness, and kinesiology, is that I think we as, you know, sports scientists and kinesiologists, we overall do a good job of conducting assessments and maybe prescribing exercise based on those assessments, but we don't do anything else with the data. And a lot of it is because we don't really learn how. You don't learn that in a kinesiology degree, for example, or whatever, how to actually work with data. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, really interesting, you know, what we're able to do is we're able to try to look at different, let's say, data points about an athlete's physical ability, and then categorize those players based on their physical ability, categorize them based on their developmental age, and then maybe rank them according to, let's say, where they stand relative to other standards and norms for the best athlete, the top level athletes in their age and, you know, and gender and in those categories, and really get a much clearer picture of what they need to do in order to improve and maybe get to the higher levels, whether that's college or professional or anything like that. So that's another thing that I'm really excited about, because I'm able to work with people that understand more about how to work with data than I do. And together, I think, you know, we can do something really, really powerful for athletes. So.
No. Yeah. Awesome. Those are two kind of super exciting projects that you're kind of working on. Yeah. And a lot of them having to do kind of with your kind of kinesiology background, sports science background, and you're kind of bringing it to fruition, where it's something that maybe at the beginning you're more focused on kind of soccer and fitness and coaching, and now it's almost come full circle that you're kind of using some of that stuff maybe you learned about back in the day about kinesiology, and you're kind of learning about how to use that data potentially to kind of help like you said, kind of coaches match the coaches with athletes, or even like you are doing with kind of the pilot app, tracking kind of training load. So one thing I wanted to chat about too was with this all, you still have kept kind of your registered kinesiology designation. And I really want to chat with you about what made you want to kind of keep your designation, and if so, like, how do you kind of use it in your career then?
Yeah. So just all of, like, continuing education has always been something that's very important to me. And I kind of always felt like, especially once I started working in sport, that there isn't always the level of respect or just the value placed on any type of education, even coaching education, different certifications, registrations like the RKIN, you know, graduate degrees, whatever. A lot of times, I think in sports, there is this sort of more old school mentality where it's like, okay, if you were a good athlete or whatever, then you don't need to take courses, you don't need to develop yourself and all that. And I really found that mentality is holding people back big time in Canada. I mean, I can't speak about all sports, but I can speak about soccer. And education is not the be all and end all. Having a registered kin designation or a master's degree or whatever is not the be all and end all. You need experience, you need knowledge, you need personality, you need all, and a little bit of luck. I mean, you need everything, right, to be successful. But without it, there are very, very clear limitations that people working with athletes, whether it's a coach or sports scientist or whatever, there are very clear limitations that these people are going to have, and they're not going to be able to optimize the way that they work with athletes, the way they train them, the way they develop them. So to me, it was always really important to keep going with my education and to do just as much as I could. And I know, you kind of made a joke and stuff about how many things I have on my LinkedIn or whatever. Like I accumulated, as much of those different courses, and I took as many of them as I could, not just because I wanted lots of letters beside my name, but I did it because I saw it as accumulating as much knowledge as I could. And again, the registered kinesiologist designation was another thing like that for me. So I said, well, I went through all this trouble to study kinesiology and to get my degree, and it's something that I am proud of and happy that I have. But also, it's because I really believe that it helped me as a coach and as a sports scientist to have that knowledge. So once that designation became available, I said, okay, well, let me do it, because it's number one, it's a sign, now that I've achieved something new and helps me in my career and all that on my resume. But also, a big actual like requirement of maintaining that designation is that you need to do more continuing education. So these things, they add value, they add knowledge. They add letters to your name, and they help you with your resume and all that, but they force you to continue your education. And to me, that's a really big thing. I don't ever want to stop learning. I don't believe that when I finish with my PhD, I'm going to stop. I'm sure I'm going to find something else to do. I mean, I'm very interested in sports psychology. I'm very interested in, athletic injuries and kind of the therapeutic side of things. And I know that I'm going to keep going with my education until, I don't know, till I'm not working anymore. So yeah, so that was, it was actually quite important to me, and I will for sure, continue to renew the Arkin designation as long as I can.
No, that's awesome for you to kind of say that, and especially for all the kind of different students that maybe are listening, or any of the new kinesiologists, or even kinesiologists that have been it for a while, that you kind of take a really different stance on it, really thinking about that designation can really help you, not just by putting letters beside your name, but also kind of really forces you to kind of keep yourself educated. And hopefully you can kind of see that as a positive rather than a negative, that you have to pay your college fees each year. So that's an awesome kind of spin on it that I've never really heard other individuals talk about. But I definitely want to really point that out, that I agree with you 100% that the education is not the be all end all, but at the same time, it really can put some limitations on some of the stuff you can, and also kind of can stop you from learning if you aren't trying to continually pursue it. So, no, those are really awesome words, and I'm sure you'll share very similar words at the end when we chat about advice. So,
And
one thing,
oh,
I'm not
sorry,
sure.
Spencer.
Yeah, go
I
ahead.
just want to mention, because I know you mentioned it stuck with me when you said about maybe some people feel like they don't want to, pay their fees, and they see it as like, I think really the investment that any, especially a young person, a student or whatever, the investment you make in your education is the most valuable way that you can invest or spend your money. You're investing in yourself. And it's much more valuable than, a lot of other things that young people spend their money on. So I think it's really worth noting that, you should never really feel like investing in education and professional development is a waste of money, because it's not.
No, that's a great point.
This podcast is sponsored by Kinformation. Are you studying for the COKO Arkin exam and need some guidance? Go to kinformation.teachable.com for a free study guide course on how to start your studying today. Link will be in the show notes below.
So with along the lines of that, I'm sure as a kinesiologist, you're kind of in the world of kinesiology and more sports scientists, sports science. I was just wondering in terms of if you have any kind of say or where you kind of see the future of kinesiology going as a profession, because I know even since I've finished school and worked as a kinesiologist, and I'm sure it's changed a lot for you, the role as a kinesiologist has changed and where they work and their perception. So I'm not sure from your end if you've kind of seen a change or if you kind of see a future change coming for kinesiology as a profession.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think, and I see this even in like with the courses that I'm teaching, you know, at the college level and stuff, but I think it's going to be really important for any, you know, kinesiology graduate or just young, you know, fitness professional in general. So I'll speak about kinesiology specifically, but also just anyone who's working in fitness or sports science or anything. I think it's going to be very important to I would say two things. To develop entrepreneurial skills, or if not that, you know, everyone wants to maybe start their own business, but at least to develop some ability to sell and market yourself beyond just the knowledge and the, you know, the theoretical knowledge that you have. Knowledge is very important because without it, you know, at some point you're going to get exposed. But in addition to knowledge, I think, you know, the direction I see things going is, especially now that, you know, everyone can have social media accounts and YouTube channels and everything is sort of opening up online. And now during COVID, you know, even more than before. So maybe that's going to mm-hmm. change things even more. But I think for individuals to be good at sales and marketing, to be able to sell themselves and to really think about, how do you, as a kinesiologist, how are you going to add value to whatever company it is that you're trying to work for? If that's what you're trying to do, you're trying to go into working for, you know, wherever it is, in a clinic or a gym or some setting like that. Or mm-hmm. if you want to start your own business, which I'm really in favor of, I think it's a fantastic, you know, ambition to have. How are you going to really add mm-hmm. value to your customers? I think thinking about that sort of sales and marketing, the business side, the economic side is really important. And the second thing, I know I've touched on it a bit with some of the stuff that I'm working on, and I'm, you know, I apply this to myself as much as I do to anyone else, is stay up to date with technology. Because I think, let's say on the kinesiology side, whether it's things like motion capture, the different types of technologies that can help you to better capture and assess the way people move, whether it's physiological assessments, like things like, you know, I don't know, VO2 max or measuring blood lactate, you know, any type of heart rate monitors, GPS, that kind of thing. Whether it's technology that more on the software side, like, you know, how you, you know, I mentioned about analyzing data, that kind of thing. I think staying up to date with technology is going to be really, really helpful for kinesiologists in their careers. And I think also being able to really be good at sales and marketing and figure out how you can add value to a company or how you can add value directly to customers that you want to work with. I think those are real important skills.
Yeah, I definitely agree with those in terms of really developing entrepreneurial skills, because nowadays, like you said, things are a lot more open nowadays that you can really start a YouTube channel and just teach people basic things, and you can get paid doing that. You can make a career out of that. And yeah, that's what some people need to understand, is it's way, way easier than back in the day when you had to go to the newspaper to sell an advertisement. Now you can kind of start your own Instagram channel, or even start a TikTok for who knows what, and do soccer drills or whatever, right? And stuff like that is really important for people to understand that they don't need to be confined in a box of, oh, I had my kin degree, I work at a clinic now. You know what I mean? They can really use their kinesiology degree for a lot of things. And you're a fantastic example of that you kind of followed your passion, dabbled in some things, and you kind of went full circle, and you're kind of back to really doing what you really love. So yeah, definitely trying to be able to market yourself and really sell yourself. And I think the business side of it is a thing that almost all kind of
students coming out of school really need to figure that out, because that'll kind of help make or break your business if you do decide to kind of start it on your own.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you, I haven't quite figured out TikTok yet, but you never know what the future holds.
That's another thing. Yeah. Geez, I'm sure you're on, and I know you are on all the other platforms, and
yeah,
especially heavy on LinkedIn, and that's where I kind of really saw you. So no, awesome. I definitely think keeping up also with the technology, especially now, things change on a monthly, weekly basis with new things. You see all these different companies now really focusing on health and technology. I see Apple and their Apple Watches really trying to progress that, Fitbit, and all the other kind of companies looking at that. And I'm sure everyone sees all the other ads for Peloton and all the online kind of training that can be done in your home because of the gym closures and everything and all that uncertainty. So there's lots of opportunity for people to kind of use the technology in different ways to help kind of build a business off of it now with COVID.
Yeah.
So to kind of finish off the podcast here, I wanted to, and I know we kind of alluded a little bit just right now, but really any advice that you would kind of give kinesiology students or new kinesiologists here. And I know we just talked about kind of really building that entrepreneurial skills and staying up to date to technology. But is there anything that you can kind of think of deep down that you really feel would be really important outside of those two things that you kind of said there before?
Sure. Yeah. So something, and maybe when I was younger, I almost took for granted because I knew I was like this, but maybe not everybody is. But I think when you're thinking about your career, this is the way I kind of looked at things. Is I said, well, you know, I decided fairly early on that I wanted to, you know, I wanted to work in soccer as a sports scientist and fitness coach. So I just sort of, and this was way back, I was maybe 22, 23 years old, still in my undergrad. You know, and that's a time when a lot, I think maybe even a lot of your listeners, or, you know, if you're dealing with kinesiology students and recent graduates, that's how old they are. And you know, again, mm-hmm. in many different directions. So once I decided on that, and I chose that because that's what I was passionate about. As I said, I was an athlete and I was into sports science. So I combined the two. And if you can do that as a career, if you can find something you're passionate about and make that your career, I think that's fantastic. Maybe not everybody can, but I think that's great to do, because it's something that I think then mm-hmm. you're much more likely to want to work hard at it. So, and then once you've decided what you want to do, this is the way I looked at it. So I want to, you know, I just said, what is it that I have to do to be the best in this career? And then, you know, everything I got into kind of spun off and built out of that. So one of the things I said, well, you know what, I need to have the highest level of coach education possible, because I knew that sooner or later I'd be working in professional environments and whatever. And, you know, if you don't really know the game and understand the game, then you're not going to be able to work with coaches. So I kept going with my coach education from the start. I said, okay, well, you know, I'm definitely going to have a very high level of expertise in sports science. And then again, once I got connected with the treadmills, I said, well, okay, I'm using this really interesting technology, but I'm going to get challenged on it. So I better make sure that, you know, I should be conducting research and publishing research and making sure that I develop a lot of expertise in that. And that's what led me to eventually mm-hmm. do the master's degree, start, you know, publishing research and the PhD, because I figured, you know, that's the highest, more or less the highest level of education you can get that way. I also, again, very early on recognized that, okay, you know, to be considered the best, you're going to have to work at the highest levels. And, you know, when you're starting out, that means working for free. So, you know, I started right yeah. away working with, you know, I went to York. I connected with the coaches that I used to play for, and I started working with them for free. Then I got hooked up with the provincial program, which was more or less a volunteer position. You know, and then through those connections and relationships, then again, it kind of took off. I got into the national team and, you know, eventually went in the pro game and so on. But I can tell you that, you know, anybody who's thinking about working in sport, don't think you're going to get, you know, paid very well or whatever at those higher mm-hmm. levels. Those are, you know, it's almost always a minimum wage job. You do it because you're passionate about it. You do it because you're building your resume, and you do it because, you know, that's the highest level that you can work at. And again, that's something that, again, like I go back to this idea of what do I have to do to be the best? And then the other thing was that I figured, you know, again, to be the best at it, I had to also develop the ability to teach it. So, and I think it's something, one of the people on my PhD committee mentioned this to me that, you know, you don't really understand something unless you're able to teach it to somebody that doesn't understand.
Teach it, yeah.
And so I, you know, I figured I had to get involved as a teacher and a professor and all that and develop my own courses to teach soccer coaches and all these kind of things. So everything I did sort of spun off of number one, following my passion, and number two, thinking of all the different things that I thought I needed to do in order to be the best at that career. And I almost, as I said, I took it for granted because I felt like, well, why do something? Why get into something like that, especially a career in sports, if you don't want to be the best at it? And maybe not everybody thinks that way, but I think if that is something you're willing to do, to, you know, then you will. You'll be very successful at it because you'll figure out what you need to do to be the best, and you won't stop until you've done it. So.
No, that's awesome. I get you're sharing a really elite mentality, and I could tell that you know what you're talking about because you practice what you preach. You're able to do all those things because you want to get to that higher level. And that's something I feel that a lot of people struggle with, is they know what they need to do, but it's a lot of work. But you've kind of clearly shown that you have that passion, you have that goal, you know what needs to be done. Sometimes you got to do the dirty work. Sometimes you're going to have to do those free jobs, volunteer, minimum wage to get that experience. But you know that's what you have to do. And you put your head down, you put the work in, and then you kind of move on and take it step by step. So I'm very happy we kind of had the opportunity to talk about your story because it is very inspirational. And even for myself, being a kind of a young kinesiologist here in Ontario and really having a passion in soccer, that definitely is something that crossed my mind that I would want to be in kind of sports science and soccer related. So you're really showing even someone like myself that it is possible. I just need to really put the work in if it's truly something that I do want to pursue in the future. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners and some of the students and other kinesiologists listening really share that opinion. So thank you so much for kind of sharing that with everyone.
Yeah, you're welcome. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So what I want to do here was just to wrap up the podcast and just say thank you for coming on the show today. You were a fantastic guest. You had so much to talk about, lots of experience, lots of knowledge, and can show us that if you're really passionate about something, you really have to kind of put your head down and push toward it. And who knows what happens, right? It's the hard work that really shows. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. And thank you for having me. And it really, it's a great, I would say maybe, you know, the most rewarding part about what I do. I work with a lot. I mean, we employ, you know, dozens of interns. I all my staff are students either from fitness and health promotion or kinesiology. You know, I'm coaching and teaching people in these programs, and so I'm around a lot of young, you know, sports science students, and it's great even to hear what you've said to me now. Like it really is very rewarding because I think this is something. It's one of those things that you really, you get into it. For the most part, I think, and maybe it's the same with you because, you know, you're the soccer as well. You get into it because you're into sports and you're passionate about it. And so it's really nice to hear, you know, that if I'm able to help, you know, help you, help some of the listeners and some of the other, you know, young aspiring kinesiologists and sports scientists. So it's great. I'm happy to be able to do that. So.
Awesome. So what I'll do is make sure at the end of the show, in the show notes, we'll link kind of your LinkedIn or kind of your contact information, and maybe some students will reach out with some of those opportunities. So lastly, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners. Thank you for taking your time out today to listen to this full episode. I look forward to releasing more podcast interviews in the near future. So if you do know of any other registered kinesiologists that would be an awesome fit for this podcast, you can email me at makingconnections@gmail.com. Also, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, they can be all directed right to our LinkedIn or our Facebook page. Both are at Making Connections Podcast. Links, like I said, will all be in the show notes again. Thank you for listening and have a great night. Have a great day. Stay safe out there from the Making Connections team.